Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Church, please remain standing as we go into the scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is taken from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. It reads, "After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you have gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.'" This is the word of God. Church, please be seated. And today we are excited to welcome our speaker, Pastor Zhang Li. So we know that Pastor Zhang Li and her family were previously in Agape. Some of us, we know Mu Si and Mu Quan. Do you all manage to say hi to them just now? Yes. Yes. They are now worshipping in and serving in Jubilee Church. So let's welcome Pastor Zhang Li for today's work.
Blessed afternoon, friends, brothers and sisters. I'm very, very grateful that today we can worship together. Please bear my English, and I will try to speak slowly. So let us pray again. Father, our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us such a privilege that we can come to worship you. We can come to worship you as a church, as your redeemed people. Please let your Spirit work through us and work within us. Open our hearts, open our eyes and ears so that we hear your words and we are transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Along our life journey, death is the final destination for everyone. However, most people try to avoid it. We try many, many ways to extend our lives or even achieve immortality. For example, in the ancient times, you know, some tried very hard to make elixirs, worship of gods, or building a pyramid, all in hope of escaping death. And how about the modern time? By now, biomedicine is one approach that humanity uses to conquer death. I don't know if you ever heard of this technology before or not. Okay, it is a technology, you know, they claim that they can hit the pause button to death. The sick people are preserved, actually after they died, after they just passed, they're preserved at extremely low temperature and hoping that when medical advances can cure their diseases in the future, and then they will be brought back to life again and be cured. And this company is a pioneer. It's a U.S. company. And also, I'm sure that you all know this couple, right? And so they not only do IT stuff, you know what else they are interested in? They spend a lot of money, they invested a lot of money in disease research. They believe that all human diseases could be cured by the end of this century. Okay, all these efforts reveal that we, as human beings, we have a deep desire to break free from death and reach an eternal state. Brothers and sisters, life comes from God. And life continues because of him. We must return to the source of life, which is God, to find the answer to eternal life. In today's scripture, Jesus makes a very straightforward statement. He says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So friends, we often think that eternal life is life without death, living forever. But here Jesus, he doesn't talk about the length of life at all. Instead, he talks about its essence. Eternal life is about knowing God. Those who know God already have eternal life. But what does it mean to know God? What do you think? Coming to church? Being baptized? Joining a cell group? Actively serving in the church? Okay, friends, knowing God isn't just knowing He exists or acknowledging that He is the Creator, that all things in the universe and creation come from Him. Knowing God isn't just accepting Jesus' salvation, asking Him to be our Savior and Lord, or joining the church. Please be noted, I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying it's not just. Knowing God means building a relationship with Him. Okay, so now allow me to use a human relationship as an illustration. Even though it cannot fully capture our relationship with God. See, let's say if we only know a person's personal information, and by now with the internet, right, it's very easy for us to find, you know, if you're interested in any stars, you know, Taylor Swift, you can easily find, you know, birthday, what color he like, what color she likes, you know, and her, you know, her life journey and blah blah, whatever kind of family she's from, you know, all kind of thing. But do you really know her? No, right? Do you want to know her? Okay. True knowing comes from interaction, mutual understanding, and a willingness to open up to the other. For example, like Taylor Swift, and okay, how many of you went to the concert? Okay, anyway, can I have a show of hands? Okay, anyway, yeah. But anyway, we know how she looks, we know, you know, we heard her songs, you know, and we got as much as information we can get. But we don't really know her. Only those who are close to her, you know, like her band, her parents, her boyfriend, you know, they truly know her and they have a direct relationship with her, right? Okay, let's come back, huh? Okay, so stop thinking about her. So, okay, there's this brother in his 50s. And so he once shared with us, you know, how he became a Christian. That happened during his college time, uni time, lah. He became a Christian because of one word: relationship. Relationship. His parents were not Christians, and so when he was a very little boy, his mother would take him to various temples to worship different gods. Whenever he was sick, or before exams, or when the family faced challenges, that's how they prayed for help. And so as he grew a bit older, he realized that they were merely making a deal with the gods. They would offer worship and pray, and in return, they get the benefits they want. He attended a Christian secondary school. He, you know, at the school required, he read the gospel, and he even won Bible quiz competitions. But he still thought that God was the same to the other gods, that he had to make deals with him for help. Then, years later, one day, when he was in college, he read the Gospel of John, and he emphasized to me, huh? Remember, the book of John. And suddenly something clicks. For the first time, he saw that Christianity was different from all other religions. It isn't a religion. It is a relationship. It's not a deal. It's not about any benefit. Faith is a relationship between God and man. And so when we think about this relationship, we know that, you know, two parties are involved. And we think about our relationship with God. We know that He is a transcendent God. You know, He's way, way above us. And as created humans, if God didn't do anything, there is no chance for us to know Him. But, friends, because God loves mankind, He actively reaches out to us. He takes the initiative. Without His doing that, we could never know Him. God speaks to us through the Bible. The Bible is His word. And through it, we learn about Him. We learn about His will, His character, His actions, His plans. We learn what pleases Him and what He hates. God went even further by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, who fully revealed Himself to humanity. Our passage today tells us that knowing Jesus is knowing God and receiving eternal life. Jesus Christ is fully God, sharing the same ancestors as the Father, yet He willingly entered the created world, becoming fully human. He lived among people during a specific time in history, in Palestine among the Jewish people. He called people to turn to God. He taught them about God's truth with authority and wisdom. He emphasized that He was sent by God, saying He was the light and the bread of life. He invited those who were thirsty and hungry to come to Him, to believe in Him, and to get the true life. He performed powerful miracles, like turning water into wine at a wedding, and so that all the guests can celebrate joyfully. He healed a man who had been bedridden for 38 years, and enabling him to walk again. He fed 5,000 hungry men. And you know that 5,000, all the women and children were not included. And He fed them with just 5 loaves and 2 small fish. His words and His action showed supreme authority over all the creation and over human lives. At the same time, not only the authority, He saw people's physical and spiritual needs. He showed deep compassion and mercy when healing and feeding them. This is the authority, compassion, and mercy of God. However, now we have to come to the sad part. Humanity has rebelled against God, pushing Him away, wanting to do as we please without His presence. You leave me alone. I want to do whatever I want. So from ancient times until today, the darkness in people's hearts and the evil in society are all too familiar, right, friends? Injustice, evil, greed, malice, jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, betrayal, you name it. They spring forth from our hearts and have led to countless problems in our society. Conflicts between neighbors, family strife, even wars between nations, and we all know what's happening in the world right now. Darkness and evil are the result of pushing God away. Our relationship with God was broken, and death became everyone's end. Yet, God showed his great love through Jesus. Jesus took our place, dying on a cross, bearing the consequences of sin for us, and freeing us from the control of darkness and sin. Only in this way can we restore our relationship with the Father and be his children once again. Friends, knowing Jesus Christ and acknowledging that he died for our sins allows us to know God and build a relationship with him. And this is a journey. Often, I say often, not always, we first obtain information or knowledge about God. You may have heard the story of Jesus and found it amazing and incredible. You may feel the things Jesus said are very unique. You've also heard stories from your Christian friends that they share with you, you know, they always like to tell you, you know, how they are transformed by God, how the Lord Jesus has guided them, and how he has been with them offering help and comfort in difficult times. Maybe you read some words from the Bible, and some of your friends invite you to church, and you hear the songs, and you are touched by the lyrics and melodies. You listen to some sermons, okay, like what I'm sharing now, huh? And perhaps you can understand a part of it. Then gradually, you begin to experience him. And eventually, you get to know him. And I know that some of you, I mean, you all grew a lot during those 4 years when my family was not in Agape. But I know that some of you are second and third gen Christians. You came to church with your parents or grandparents. You heard the Bible stories many, many times. You have lots and lots of knowledge about God. Friends, even for you, you need to turn the knowledge about God into a relationship with him. Let the God of your grandparents, let the God of your parents be your God. You need to bring all your knowledge about God before him. You need to reflect and meditate on it to find out what it means to you, not to your parents, not to your friends, not to anyone else, but to you. And you need to find out how those knowledge connects to your lives. You know all the miracles and sayings of Jesus. You must find out who Jesus truly is. He is not merely a great teacher or a perfect man. So friends, you definitely need God's help on this journey. Let His truth shine into your hearts and transform your thoughts. Meditate on His words and apply it to yourselves, letting it guide you in your conversations with God. That is, you know, let the word of God guide you when you pray and when you worship Him. The theologian J.I. Packer once wrote a very moving paragraph, and so please allow me to paraphrase it. So I will share like my story, but it's not my story. But it's very close to my story. Okay, anyway. So, okay. I'm very familiar with the Bible. I heard a lot. I learned a lot. So I have a lot of knowledge about God. But all the times it didn't mean anything to me. And then just one day, I wake up and I realize that, oh my, this God is speaking to me, to this person, such an insignificant person like me. He is speaking to me. And so when I look at His message, and then I find myself very low, because from the message, I notice that. I notice about my sin, my guilt, my weakness, my blindness, and my folly. I realize that I am completely hopeless and helpless. But friends, this is not all. I continue to listen to God and realize that God opens His heart to me. He actually loves me so deeply that He searches for me. He sacrificed Himself for me. He accepts me no matter how bad I am. Not only that, He makes me His friend. He invites me to work with Him. He even invites me to be His, like His colleague, like His co-worker. I'm so touched. I started knowing Him, and I'm transformed. Because I'm very grateful, I worship and praise Him. And Packer says, this is shocking, but it's absolutely true. Who truly know God? Everyone, all the people who truly know God, have encountered Him through various experiences. And when we know God, eternal life begins. So friends, we don't need to wait for a new heaven and earth. And we don't need to wait until the day Jesus Christ returns. Our lives have already been changed. Eternal life is our real experience in the present. Life is always full of unexpected. With rapid advancement in technology, maybe you as young people, it's not very hard for you, huh? But if you ask your parents, you know, people at my age, you know, we feel that, oh my goodness, so many new things just, you know, keep coming out, and it's hard to keep on track. But at the same time, you know, I know a lot of you are not students anymore. You started working, you know, you started to think about, to face real life issues. And so we started to have challenges, you know, real life challenges. You know, life is not as simple as before when you just study, exam, right? So when we face all the changes and with all the challenges, no matter if it's your job, if it's your relationship, and all your relationship, maybe not only about girlfriend boyfriend, but like family, like with your parents, if our lives are not changed by God, we surely will have great fear of the future, and we surely will have a lot of worries about a lot of decisions we need to make, and then how. But now because of our relationship with God and our knowledge of Jesus, we have a renewed and transformed life inside. Not in the future, but right now. And it gives us peace, hope, and strength every day. And we are no longer just preparing for the future. We live in the presence of Jesus right now. And we also live in the hope that we will always be with Him. When we grow older, no matter if you like it or not, one day you will become my age. And one day you will become the age of your parents, your grandparents. And right? But we live in the hope that we will always be with Him. And in joy or in suffering, we know God walks with us, and this is the power of eternal life. A young brother once shared, he already working, he finished his NS already, huh? But he shared that when he was serving NS, they stayed in a completely dark forest, that kind of 伸手不见五指, huh? And so he was very scared. So for the first time, he found that he was so helpless. So he cried to God very, very seriously. And then gradually, peace filled his heart, a peace he never experienced before. And friends, this kind of encounter, this kind of experience can happen to everyone. So now I share a very old uncle story. So in August this year, and this uncle is in his 80s. He's for more than 20 years he stayed by his on his own. His wife passed already. So he after COVID he got some health problem already, and he had to get a blood transfusion like every 2 or 3 weeks. And so this August he fell, and he got hospitalized. And several days later, doctor transformed him to palliative care. So on my way to the hospital, I prayed very hard for words of comfort. Then when we met, before I said anything, and he told me, he's like, "Pastor, I know this is palliative care. I'm not worried. I'm not scared. I have peace inside, and I have the joy inside, because I going to see the Lord Jesus soon. He has been with me all the years, and I'm gonna see Him face to face very soon. I'm going to a very glorious and wonderful place." Friends, I see light in his eyes. He has experienced the company of Jesus every day. Before that happened, sometimes we went to visit him, and he always shared with us, you know, about God's grace, about, you know, the strength he got when he read the Bible, when he listened to the Christian songs. And so he knows that whether he lives on earth or goes to be with Jesus, he is always in eternity. Yes, friends, when we know Jesus, we are already in eternity. And in summary, these are what we learn from what Jesus said today. We learn that eternal life is knowing God, is building a relationship with him. And only through Jesus Christ can we have this relationship. And this relationship can go deeper and deeper. It is a journey. It's a lifelong journey. But this eternal life begins here and now. Okay, so friends, now when we are still reflecting on the Word of God, may I invite the worship team on the stage?